Joe, you have Morocco going to the World Cup quarterfinals. Bro, you're just wasting your money.
Hey guys, Carmen Sacco here from York University and Vaughan Soccer Club, and you're listening to the Football Weekly Podcast.
We're finally at the stage. We're at the stage where the things in the World Cup get very, very interesting. Very, very interesting. Joe was supposed to be with us tonight. Well, supposed to be with us every night. He's stuck in a coach's meeting, so I decided I'll start it. And maybe we'll have him call in. He can explain what magical thing he saw to put Morocco into the quarterfinals of this World Cup. FIFA came this close to getting their dream quarterfinal, with every team being European except for Brazil and Argentina. This close to getting it. Because all the games were refereed, like they only wanted European and Brazil and Argentina to make it to the quarterfinals, the semis, and the finals. But we won't get into that. That's a different topic for a different day. We all know what FIFA's about. It's about the dollar bills, yo. So, I mean, I guess Ghana versus Morocco wouldn't sell enough tickets for them. So. Got to find a way to get them out. But I mean, you might call it sour grapes. You can call it what you want. You see how the games are ref differently. I do. Maybe you don't. I do. But anyways, we'll move on to the teams that are actually in the quarterfinals. I mean, exciting knockout stage stuff. Exciting knockout stage stuff. If you had told me the Morocco was going to be in the quarterfinals, I would have looked at you funny, like I did when Joe said it. Very funny, but it looks like it's coming true. So it's Thursday night. Tomorrow we have the first games of the knockout stage. I see Croatia and Brazil. Well, actually, you know what? I'm gonna tell you what games are coming up, actually. So tomorrow we have Croatia and Brazil. In the afternoon we have Netherlands and Argentina, which we're gonna take a dive into that game and, you know, give you our, I'll give you my prediction on that. I think Joe is in kind of into the same camp as me, play wise. But you have to understand that playing football and playing FIFA football, it's a different thing. So I'll explain that a little bit later. On Saturday, we've got Morocco and Portugal, which is pretty big game, actually. Ronaldo's replacement pulls a hat trick and everyone's going crazy. Signature, how much? Everybody calm down. It's one game, got a hat trick in it. Fantastic, great. I remember Italia 90, Scalacci, 6 goals in 6 games, I believe, or something like that. What happened after? You have to temper your expectations sometimes of players. It was a great performance. Don't get me wrong. Not bitter about the performance or anything like that. But everybody calm down. I'm hearing numbers already bandied about out there. Relax. Take it easy. 70 million. Relax. Take it easy. Let's see it prolonged. Let's see him have the career of a Cristiano Ronaldo before we start, you know, anointing him the next one. Again, great performance. Against a very weak Switzerland defense. I don't know what happened to them. They were playing so well during the World Cup, and then they just got split open by Portugal. I don't know if it's fatigue or if the game plan was all wrong. I have no idea, but I mean, that's not the Switzerland we saw throughout. That's not the Switzerland or the Swiss defense we saw through the whole World Cup. So we'll talk about that game as well. And then the game, for me and the Football Weekly Podcast, the game of games. We've been crying all, well, not crying. I shouldn't say crying. I'm not crying. But I've been telling a certain somebody that's used to be involved heavily in the show, still involved in the show, not as much on air and on your video screen, but he's very active in the chats. Very, very, very active in the chats. When I say active in the chats, And the comments that everybody else would make to him, wait till they play somebody decent. I'm talking about the English national team. Average squad, if you ask me, as far as national teams go, average. Average players, average, below average coach, average. After they beat Iran 6-2, like I said in the previous podcast, polishing up the World Cup trophy, the parade route was set. They were all on the bus with the open top bus with the trophy outside hanging it up. They had already won the World Cup. Then they ran into a pesky United States and drew. And then they put the bus back into the garage. And then they beat the powerhouse that is Wales. And guess what came back out? The bus is back. Oh, we're good. Yeah, we're good. And then they strolled through their quarter. I don't even remember who they played in the quarterfinals. Senegal. Not in the quarterfinals, in the knockout. They strolled past Senegal without two of their best players. Okay, no problem. It's kind of like the Raptors when they're sailing past Golden State with Steph Curry in the bench. You know what? That's a pretty good comparison. Raptor fans and English national team soccer fans. It's a pretty good comparison. But anyways, now we're going to see what this squad is made of. I was told that Maguire is a great footballer. Harry Maguire at the back is a great footballer. He's just easy to target. Whenever he makes a mistake, he's an easy target. Okay. I've heard Kyle Walker, he's gonna put Mbappe in his pocket. He's just as fast. Okay. John Stones is playing he's playing probably the best football he's ever played in his life. And okay. I don't say anything. Because when Saturday at 2 o'clock rolls around, I'm hoping for a 6-7-0. Like easily a 6-7-0. Please. If there's football gods out there, please. 8, 9, 10. Put 10 by them, please. But you're still going to hear, oh, the referee. Anyways, we'll dive into all of that as we get to it. But not going to make this too long. 30 minutes, 40 minutes. All my opinion. Joe's not here to rein me in. So all my opinion. So we'll start with Croatia, Brazil. I don't see any reason to talk about this game. Croatia will put up a fight, but Brazil is just too good. And I saw Croatia, how they played against Canada and how they played against the other teams in the group. I mean, just a normal Croatian performance, but you have to be extraordinary if you're going to play a team like Brazil. That Brazilian team, they're out there having fun, and that's the scary part. Not saying that they're out there joking around, but they're making it seem like it's too easy. I've never seen a team go and celebrate with their coach and have the coach do a dance with them. Never seen that. It would probably rile me up a little more as an opponent, but then they stick another three past you. So what are you going to do? So I have Brazil coming out of this game. We're not going to talk too much about that. I think Brazil wins the World Cup. Even though I know I said Portugal-Argentina final because that's what FIFA wants, Ronaldo and Messi. I wouldn't be surprised if I saw that because we all know FIFA and how it's rigged. But if it comes down to playing, I think Brazil should win this World Cup. Shouldn't be any surprises there. Second game of the day. It's a big one. Argentina, Netherlands. And everyone's, you have Messi on your team. You're automatically one of the favorites to win the game. But Joe was telling me this afternoon, wouldn't be surprised if Netherlands came out and beat them. I wouldn't be surprised either. Again, the only reason why I would say Argentina is going to win is because Portugal-Argentina final would cash in the most ducats for FIFA, and it's must-see TV. It's LeBron versus Jordan one-on-one. Who's not going to watch this? Everyone will watch it. People that don't even follow football will watch this. Cody Gakpo, Memphis Depay, and Denzel Dumfries, probably the standout performers of the Netherlands team. Yeah, I know usually you'd say, oh, well, what about Van Dijk? Van Dijk, for me, after the knee injury, hasn't been the same guy. I don't know if it didn't heal properly. Maybe he came back too fast. Maybe he doesn't want a repeat of the injury. Who knows? So maybe he's not playing to his peak. Maybe the legs are done playing in the Premier League. There was that one season where I think he played almost every single game because Liverpool only had 11 players that could play, and they had to use all 11 of them every single game to win what they won. And that's when our buddy, our Liverpool supporter, was on our show, and I would tell him that you're two injuries away from finishing in 10th place. And he didn't get those injuries, and they ended up winning the league that year. But those miles that he's put on his legs are starting to show now. He's getting older, and the miles are starting to show. His attackers are getting younger, trickier, and all the attackers are getting the benefit of the doubt now. Ronaldo, Portugal, Ghana game. Attackers are getting the benefit of the doubt. Offside, no problem. I'm not going to take it to VAR. No issues there. Ronaldo PK against Ghana. VAR's not going to review that. It's okay. Okay. Anyway, so I'm getting back to my FIFA conspiracy. I was talking about this conspiracy to somebody else in a group chat, and he played the X-Files theme. So, whatever. If you think I'm wrong, I'm not. Believe me, there are certain teams that FIFA wants to see succeed, and there's some that they don't care if you're there. They invite you to the dance to show that, hey, we love everybody. We're all inclusive. Hey, you bring your baby. But when it comes down to, you know, who you can dance with, yeah, the party's over for you. You got to go home. Can't use the washroom, can't buy stuff at the bar, can't buy drinks at the bar, can't dance with the girls. And you can't stay here. You got to go. So, again, we'll probably have that show. Probably never, because we'll probably get canceled. But anyways, back to the football. So I can see the Netherlands, with the attack that they have, the defense of Argentina doesn't look that strong to me. I mean, we're back to this, give the ball to Messi, let's see what he can do. I know Rodrigo De Paul is there, and Angel Di Maria is there, and I still can't believe Otamendi's on the team, but what the hell do I know, right? So as long as Netherlands can smother the space that Messi is using, try to get in there, I think. If they can do that, it's a tall order. I mean, he's one of the best in the world. Again, older now. Last World Cup. I mean, he's probably been chilling in his... he's probably been chilling in the domestic league in France. Maybe not playing every game that he could. Probably resting up for these games. But again, if you've got four or five guys around him, I mean, what are you expecting him to do? So somebody else is going to have to step up on this team. A Lautaro Martinez, previously said an Angel Di Maria, an Angus McAllister, or whatever his name is, might have to step up and provide something that you're not expecting. Because don't get me wrong, the Netherlands will be prepared for Argentina. They'll be well prepared. Van Gaal will have these guys well prepared. So it's not a slam dunk that Argentina is going to beat the Netherlands. Not a slam dunk for me. Not like Brazil, Croatia for me anyway. Sorry, Marco. Sorry. So that's tomorrow's game. So I have Netherlands beating Argentina if it's a football game, and I have Argentina going through if it's what FIFA wants. Because I guarantee you there's going to be a point of controversy in that game, and it's going to go Argentina's way. You heard it here first. Saturday morning, thank God, I got to take my car in to get repaired. Saturday morning, appointments at 9:30. I was hoping and praying England didn't play France at 9:30, because I would have to go another week with a nail in my tire then. because there's no way I'm missing that game. But we got Morocco, Portugal. After what Portugal did to Switzerland 6-1, I wouldn't read too much into it. Morocco beating Spain. Oh yeah, and that too. Luis Enrique was fired today for the performance in the World Cup. We always, well, Joe and I actually always praise the style of play of Spain. Always praise it. It's beautiful. It's nice. It's full of movement, running. It's a bunch of young players. I don't agree with the firing. Like I just mentioned, a bunch of young players. It's their first, some of them it's their first World Cup. They didn't do that poorly, I think. Maybe some of the selections were head scratchers a little bit. I don't think Morata is the guy up top, but some of the selections could have been were head scratchers. Subbing off a sub who was actually last game, Nico Williams, Inaki Williams' brother, who was actually getting down the wing and getting after it. Now, I don't know if there was an injury or something, I don't know, but if it was a tactical decision, I don't understand it. He was actually getting joy down the wings. He was causing problems, his speed. I mean, I don't know why you would take him out, but that's why they get paid the big bucks. Like I said, maybe there was an injury or something. He wasn't feeling comfortable. He had to come off. I don't know. But if it's a tactical reason, it doesn't make sense. Jose Mourinho once said, "You can have the possession. I'll take the 3 points." It still rings true today. Listen, the football looks beautiful. It looks amazing. Right back passes it to the right center back. The right center back passes it to the left center back. The left center back passes it to the left back. The left back passes it back to the left center back. The left center back passes it to the right center back. The right center back passes it to the right back. The right back passes it. It looks great. 3 million passes in the game. Oh, fantastic. You've gone 5 yards. And I know teams, the way teams set up, and I know Morocco is set up this way. We have guys that come out. We have guys that are in our chats that say negative football. These guys are garbage. Negative football. You have to look at the personnel on the field. Can Morocco go toe-to-toe, player for player, with a team like Spain? No. You're trying to avoid having space in behind you because the players that they have in attack are super skilled. I never fault any team for setting up to put themselves in a good position to win. Now, if you're a powerhouse team like Brazil, you're going toe-to-toe with a team like Morocco, are you going to come out and try to play one-on-one with go one-for-one on every player on Brazil? You'd be foolish to do that because it'll end up 12-0. Sit back in a low bank and you defend. And oh, maybe you get a counter. Maybe you get a counter. Maybe you get a corner. Something happens. Maybe. Let's take this thing to penalty shots. Take our chances there. Let's just not get embarrassed on the world stage. I have no problem with teams doing that. Some people call it negative soccer. You do what you got to do to win. It's not negative to me. Jurgen Klopp came out and said teams are playing negative, sitting back, and da-da-da. Of course they're sitting back, because if they don't sit back, you'll rip them to shreds. Who wants to get ripped to shreds? Nobody. So I don't understand why coaches even come out and say negative, negative, negative. Well, only one did. To Pep Guardiola's credit, and this is probably the only time you'll hear me give credit to Pep Guardiola, one interview he came out and said, "Hey, listen, teams do what they have to do. If that's what they had to do to get a result and they got the result, it's a good week of practice." So Morocco came out and sat in a low bank. They had a couple of chances actually to score. I think their striker that came on in the second half, and I mean, he had two chances to put them away and didn't take them. But I'm a big proponent of do what you got to do to win. Or do what you have to do. And the tiki-taka looked fantastic from Spain. But there's no end product. passing. Don't get me wrong. I'm a guy that likes passing, but the passing has to have a purpose. It's got to open up something. Someone has to make a run somewhere. And they weren't doing any of that. It's just like passing for the sake of passing the ball. Japan exposed that as well. And maybe Morocco took a page out of their book and just said, you know, there's no spark to this. Sure, they have 99% possession, but there's no spark. There's nothing happening. Now, Brazil has 99% percent possession. Game's 5-0 probably. Because they bring you out, they draw you out, they play boom, 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 and then they play it over the top or down the wings and you get dusted. Spain wasn't doing that. It's a slow build-up. There's no speed. The speed that you have is on the bench. It doesn't come on until 5 minutes left in extra time. It actually gets subbed off. He actually gets put on at halftime and gets subbed off. It's just strange. You're hoping Rodri and Busquets and these guys can. You have Rodri playing as one of your backs. Just, I don't know, man. He's not the fastest guy. I mean, anyone one on one with Rodri is gonna beat him. Even though that never really happened in the game because Laporte was there to clean up. But like I said, man, the selection was probably all wrong. I mean. Busquets, I get it. He's a Spanish legend, but I don't think he provides that much anymore. The game's evolved. He's still in it, of course. Don't get me wrong. Fantastic player. Great player. But I think you should have someone who's a little bit more dynamic in that position. And it's not like a country like Iran, where we don't have that guy. You should be able to find somebody within the Spanish Federation, you know, that could be... That could be that the heir apparent to that. The strikers, Joe was telling me today that, you know, the strikers were all wrong. You can take a Morata, that's fine. But you need an Ansu Fati to play. You need pace to get behind. Morata had chances. I think he scored a goal as well. He had chances as well. He was getting some chances, but... You're getting a chance as a striker in a World Cup. You have to be clinical because you never know what could happen. And look what happened. So I see Morocco not playing. Well, actually, I do. I do see Morocco playing the exact same way they played against against Spain. It's very tiring because you're just chasing the ball and you're well, against Spain, not really, because no one was really running, but Portugal, they're going to make those runs. If Cristiano Ronaldo plays, who knows, you know, he's going to be busy up there. The kid who scored the three goals the other night is going to be busy. Fernandez is looking for that through ball pass. If Rafa Leao ever gets to start, he's a danger. I mean, there's Bernardo Silva is out there. There's lots of danger men out there. I don't think Portugal is going to... I think Portugal is actually going to take a page out of the book of Spain of how not to play against these guys. And I think they're going to come out firing. And as much as I want to see an African team go as far as they can to disrupt FIFA's plans, I don't think Morocco has enough to beat Portugal. So I have Brazil, Netherlands, Portugal coming out of those games. And finally, we'll talk about the game of the weekend for me. And I mean, popcorn, beers, wings, pizza, whatever you want, bring it over. We're here. That's probably going to be the only game, that and Ghana and Canada games, actually, that I'm going to be there. Game starts at 2. I'll be watching from 1. I want to hear it all. The group chat's going to be lively, we'll say. But again, FIFA gods. 10-0, please, 10-0. 2 own goals from Jordan Henderson, please. Please. Or one from Henderson, one from Maguire, please, please. We'll discuss this game too long. France is going to beat these guys. They're going to smoke these guys. I don't see how England copes with A, Mbappe. Well, no one can really cope with Mbappe. How are you going to do that? You're going to look at, who else do they have? Griezmann behind him. You know, Rabiot and Tchouaméni in the middle, in the midfield, cleaning everything up. Oh, there's somebody there that's the leading goal scorer for France Federation. What's his name? He used to play for Arsenal, plays for AC Milan. Now wears number 9. Oh, what's his name again? Oh, Olivier Giroud. And there's another guy on the other side there, Ousmane Dembele. If he gets caught, if Mbappe or Dembele get caught with Luke Shaw, oh man. And even Kyle Walker. Kyle Walker's going to be walking a tightrope because he's going to get skinned all game. He's going to get an early yellow and he's going to be walking a tightrope the rest of the game. And I don't know who you put in to save him. If any one of these guys gets one-on-one with Maguire or even Stones back there, I'll be realistic. 4-0. 4-0, and it's not even, it should have been 6, and it wasn't even close. That's my prediction. It's a big game, so Harry Kane won't show up. If you're going to start Jordan Henderson in the midfield, okay, with who Mason Mount, these are the guys that were supposed to be average players that we're supposed to be afraid of. Average footballers. We need to get away from the English media and how they perceive these players and start watching the games and thinking for ourselves and watching the games and seeing what these players do. There was a game that was being played by England where I didn't even know Mason Mount was on the field. So he came off at halftime. He was walking off the field. I said, he was playing? Wow. Harry Kane scored his first goal of the World Cup last game. So I guess Harry's back. Okay. And like I said, it's a big game, so he won't score. Or maybe if they get it, they might get a PK. He'll take that and Harry's back, I guess. I don't know. The only thing I really like about, enough with the England-France game. I hate England. France wins that. So I got Brazil, Netherlands, Portugal, and France. So that would mean France. I believe that would mean France, Argentina, and then Brazil, Portugal, I believe, would be the next would be the semifinals, which, I mean, another day of popcorn, right? So hopefully we see that. Hansi Flick, German coach, survives. Luis Enrique gets fired. Erdmann still has a job, which he should. They're looking at Berhalter to see whether he should get tossed in the bin. But I mean, all these teams firing coaches, it's like, what did you expect your team to do? What do you expect? What were you expecting from Canada and the USA? Maybe not so much. Maybe I can't put Germany and Spain into that category because they've won the World Cup before. Their teams might not have been as good as those teams that won the World Cup, but they're royalty. They've won the World Cup before. But what are you expecting USA or Canada to do? Is it enough to make it out of the group? Is it enough to win a game? Why are we looking at a team that hasn't been in the World Cup for 36 years, going back with a youngish team, guys that have been, some guys that have been playing in Europe and some guys that haven't been playing in Europe. They've been playing in MLS and taking them to play against guys that are like, you're playing Belgium. You're looking at Belgium on paper and you're saying, how are we going to beat these guys? Last week, Kevin De Bruyne was playing against, he's in practice with Haaland. He was playing against Thiago on Liverpool. Like, you know, and making those guys look stupid. I mean, it's like you have to have the confidence, but at the same time, you have to be realistic. These guys are really, really, really good. And they have the experience, something that we don't have. So I don't know what people were expecting from Canada. They want Erdmann fired. He doesn't know what he's doing. And I don't know if it's based off the comments that he made that people didn't like. I don't, like I said last week with Joe, I don't care about the comments. It's fine. Every coach says it. Just most of them don't get caught on tape saying it. So I don't know why you would want to see Herdman fired. He had this country on fire during qualifying. I have never seen this country like this, the city like this. The Canadian men's soccer game at Wednesday night, 8 o'clock, was the hottest ticket in Ontario. And I remember we went to the game against when Alfonso Davies scored that crazy goal. I think it was Costa Rica or Honduras. I can't remember which one. And it was 60th minute. People were still coming in. We were sitting in our section and people were just, we couldn't see the game because people just kept coming. And we look back and there has to be like 4 million seats back there. Like, where is everybody coming from? And why, like, we look across the field to the other side and nobody's coming up the stairs. Everyone's coming on this side. Like, there can't be that many seats up there. Hottest ticket in Ontario that night. And maybe even hotter was the one where when they clinched it against Jamaica. So why people want Herdman fired, I have no idea. I'll roll with him with the next World Cup if he wants. If he wants to be here, I'll roll with him. Why not? Why not? So that was my short and sweet, or Football Weekly short and sweet preview of the quarterfinals. Can't wait for tomorrow, 10 o'clock. Again, the games, Croatia, Brazil, 10 o'clock. Netherlands, Argentina at 2. Saturday, 9 o'clock, Portugal, Morocco. And the big one at 2 o'clock, France and England. And England. Just wonder what, I'm just going through my head and trying to figure out what the excuse this time is going to be. There was excuses after the Euro. There's probably going to be lots of excuses again. This time. But watch there be a shock and they beat France. If they beat France, then I'm going to have to take some time off. I'm going to have to leave my WhatsApp group because it's going to be disgusting in there. But guys, Joe should be back next week. We'll do a recap of what we saw in these quarterfinal games, what we see going forward. The best thing out of this World Cup is that I only have one player. I only have one player playing. Well, I have two away, but Ramsdale won't get in any of the games. So I have one player in Bukayo Saka playing. That's it. That's all we got. Man City has 5 or 6. Liverpool has, well, I'm talking about players, so they have 0. I don't count Jordan Henderson. Pickford, not an issue. But for the big teams, I mean, Bruno Fernandes for Man United. The diving fool in Brazil. I know which one. I know. Richarlison for Tottenham. He's going to need a break, hopefully. Casemiro at United. Varane at United. You know, these guys are going to need a. These guys are going. Oh, sorry. I have Martinelli as well. Martinelli's playing for Brazil, but bit part role there. So. Just hope that they're safe and stay healthy, unlike Gabriel Jesus, which is a big blow. But hopefully Arsenal can go out and, yes, I said Arsenal, you know, still around, still in first place, by the way. A buddy of mine came to the indoor, where we played indoor last week, and he came to me and shook my hand and he said, "Hey, Reggie, I looked at the standings. Arsenal's still on top." So yeah, they are. So hopefully, you know, Gabriel Jesus' injury, they say 3 months, but hopefully it's, you know, he's chomping at the bit to get back. So it comes back a little bit earlier because we need that guy for the push for the end of the year, end of the season push. EPL starts right back just on Boxing Day, right back with a full slate of games. So Xhaka, Partey, Tomiyasu, they've all rejoined Arsenal in Dubai for their training. So Xhaka didn't even take a break. Switzerland lost to Brazil, packed up his stuff, took a plane straight from Qatar to Dubai to meet up with the guys to get the job done for the Arsenal. So kudos to Captain Granite. So we've got some pretty big games coming up. Can't wait. Can't wait for tomorrow morning to watch those games. Guys, I'm super tired. I'm sorry if this didn't flow as it should have. Got to get some content out there. So guys, if you're watching on YouTube, thank you. If you haven't subscribed, subscribe. If you don't watch on YouTube, subscribe to our YouTube channel anyway. You can catch us on all the popular podcast platforms. We're on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple Music. We're on Amazon Music, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player FM. We're everywhere. We're on every platform you use to get podcasts. So guys, can't wait. Saturday at 2:00. I can't wait. And I hope you can't either. We'll catch you next week. England sucks, man.